Let her rip.
All right. Here we go.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
You know, click on the right thing. So we'll clean it up as we're rolling here today. It is Thursday, the 18th of May. Where did April go? Where did April go? And here it's May 18th. Is that right? Is it May 18th? We're on the verge of the conference here. Did we name this conference? I'm just going to call it the L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar Conference. We're on the verge of that. Chasing my tail. I was just telling someone in the queue. Hey, by the way, if you're listening right now, we have room. This doesn't happen every day. My ear itches. I'm sorry. We have room. You can go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle, and you may be able to jump in here for the first time ever. It'll pop up right on your phone or right on your computer or whatever, and you're going to be one of us. I look down here. We got room for a couple, maybe three people to join us. So go right there at CoachDaveLive.com. Click over on the right where it says Join the Huddle, and if you're cameras are set up and ready to go, man, you can jump right in here with us. I'm excited about the conference. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about it because some of you are either coming or you're not coming, and that's okay. We have a good crowd, over 200, maybe as many as 250. We don't know exactly. But got a great facility we're going to use it in. It looks like we're going to have good weather, maybe some storms here or there. But here's what's going to be good about it. Listen to me. Hear me now. Some of you, even right now, are trying to decide, I want to go to that thing. Listen, why wouldn't you? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to find out something? Are you man enough? Listen, you go to church every Sunday. Do you ever question what the guy in the pulpit's telling you? Are you allowed to? Are you allowed to question what the pastor's telling you? Could there be something going on that you're not hearing about from the pulpit? Could there be? Well, I'm going to tell you, you come Friday night, you come Saturday, you're going to hear about a lot of stuff that you're not hearing about in the pulpit. I can promise you that. And the good thing is every bit of it's going to be biblical. Every bit of it will be biblical. You're going to get the most unbelievable. You are going to see on Friday night and Saturday, you're going to watch L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar connect the dots to what's going on around us. Cause and effect. Cause and effect is conference that you didn't even know that their eyes were open and they were awake. Happens all. I'm just telling you. We start at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Stuff. Information is on our website, and we'll have a little meeting. We're gonna do some teaching tomorrow night. Russ will speak. LA will speak. I'll lay the groundwork for what we're going to do, and then we'll have some fellowship around the campfire. And Roger will smoke his cigars, and we'll eat a hot dog or two. And then Saturday we're going to really really dig into it with some great deep teaching, explaining why. What is going on? What is going on? You're going to leave here with some answers. Now, I'm going to warn you about this. And I forgot. Sunday morning, then, we're going to go to the Nephilim Mounds. Not the Newark Earthworks. It's the Nephilim Mounds. We ought to call it what it is. Say, what? What are you talking about? Well, coming, I'll show you. Come and join us, and we'll show you. So we have to – you got to ask your question. You're going to have to ask yourself this question. You gonna keep hiding under the covers? You gonna keep hiding under the covers? Put your head under the covers and act like all this stuff isn't around? Is that what you're gonna do? Or are you gonna get your eyes open to understand? Jesus said that we're not ignorant of his devices. We understand what's going on. And we don't. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and we still don't get it. I still hear from people that think it's Republican Democrat. Turn on Rush Limbaugh, as George said before we went on the air. Turn on Rush Limbaugh, and he'll say, if we can just get rid of those Democrats, if we can just get those Democrats out there. How long has he been saying that? And you know what? Hey, dudes, we got rid of them. We got rid of those Democrats. And they're still running things. Why are they still running things? I don't know. But I do know this. See, it isn't political. If you think, well, we're going to change America by changing the politics of America, man, you're dumber than I thought. Because if you just look back, look over your shoulder, just peek back over your, look what's happened to us just since Ronald Reagan. That's the icon of, the icon of conservative. We got George Bush, and we got two terms of Clinton. And then we got baby Bush, two terms of baby Bush. And then we got the Muslim freak. Do you look what's happened to us just over the last 30 years? It has been amazing. And we think it's just political. We think it's just politics. We don't understand, as I try to make clear every day on this show, seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It ain't Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, progressives, females, hate women, Russia. How stupid are you? Well, you're not stupid. If we were to look up that word right now, stupid, you know what that comes from? It comes from being in a stupor. Stupor. What's a stupor? Like you're high. You're in a drunken stupor. You're stupid. You're in a drunken stupor, thinking Rush Limbaugh's going to tell you the truth. Hannity, they're going to tell you the truth. I'm going to say this again. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Most of the counsel that you're getting on the radio is ungodly counsel. It's political counsel. It's conservative counsel. But it ain't the truth. It ain't the truth. And when I started to get into the truth, and I'm talking about me now, and I began to dig down into the truth, something unbelievable happened. My eyes began to pop open. And I began to see, ooh, a boogeyman here and a boogeyman here and a boogeyman there and a boogeyman there. And somebody behind the curtain pulling all those strings. And I quit looking at the boogeyman and started focusing on the guy pulling the strings, the man behind the curtain. My faith grew. Say it again. My faith grew. It made my faith grow. It didn't scare me. And I find myself right now, a lot of pastors I've come in contact with, good men, a lot of good men, they ain't got a clue. They don't have a clue. Why? Because they haven't pulled the covers back. They're afraid to pull the covers back and peek and look at what's going on. I said I wasn't going to say this morning, but I'm going to say it. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with Donald Trump. If you cannot see that there's a demonic attack taking place around Donald Trump, I don't even know what to tell you. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Now the good old Republicans, the ones who are going to save you. We need some more Republicans. We need some more John McCain's, Lindsey Graham's, and Paul Ryan's, and what's that other guy's name? Mitch McConnell. Yeah, we need a lot more of them. Olympia Snow. We need a lot more Republicans in there. I've tried to convince you, as long as we've been doing this, if you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not in the family of God, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you're not walking that walk, you are on the devil's team. Do you get that? Hey, Bill Clinton claims to be a Christian. Jimmy Carter claimed to be a Christian. Hillary claims to be a Christian. Obama claimed to be a Christian. Huh? And then I hear people say, well, who are you to judge them, Coach? What? You go to the dentist? Hard to tell. I do. I go to the dentist. And you know what? I judge my dentist by his work. I decide, am I going to go back or am I not going to go back? I don't say, oh, don't judge him. Don't judge the dentist. What do you mean don't judge him? Oh, don't judge him. It's not our place to judge. It isn't. See, you're in a stupor. Okay? You're in a politically correct, demonic stupor. It's all around you. And the shirt I should have worn this morning is our favorite shirt, which will be available at the conference. Truth sounds like hate. I'm trying to bring you the truth. Help you to understand that there are demonic forces at work. Folks, the New World Order is real. You can believe it or you cannot. And they are working to destroy everything Christian. Everything Christian. And Donald Trump, for whatever reason, whether he's king this or king that, I'm not making biblical comparisons here. But somebody told me that you can judge a man by his enemies. Who are his enemies? Hey, any of you there in the queue, can you rattle off any of Donald Trump's enemies for me? Whoa. Can you rattle off any of his friends? I'm waiting. Can you rattle off any of his friends? Can you rattle off any of his enemies? Yeah, you can. And his enemies say a lot about him. And if we lose this battle, it appears to be a political one. It's not. If we lose this spiritual battle for our liberty, that's what's going on now. If we lose that spiritual battle for our liberty, for the sake of our children and grandchildren, We, what's that song? Done by, was it Seals and Crofts? We may never pass this way again. Remember that? We may never pass this way again. We are right now at the precipice of something unbelievable. And yeah, Rod.
Well, one thing I think has been kind of curious on the last couple of days on this Trump stuff is you would think you'd be hearing whispers of Pence, and he's a born-again Christian, and we want him, or the other side saying, oh, leave the pagan in. We don't want Pence in there. There must be no fear of Pence.
Well, Roger, here's something else that's even more telling, beyond, in my opinion. Where is his Republican support? Where are they? Where's anybody standing up fighting hard for him and calling him names? And where is anybody? Can you imagine if the allegations being made against Donald Trump right now had been made against the Muslim freak who used to be in the White House? Can you have any idea what the pushback would have been from his team? See, Trump doesn't have a team. When are you going to wake up and see that, folks? Donald Trump isn't a Republican. He doesn't have a team. And so, go ahead.
Well, how quickly we forget Lynch went to the airport to meet Bill Clinton while his wife was investigated.
That wasn't meddling, was it? That wasn't meddling. No. See, listen, I'm going to put it in a nutshell, and then I'm going to move on to something else. Okay, you ready? It's for those who want to see America great again and those who want global to be great again. That's the battle, see. And all of the people are tied into the globalists. Why are they tied into the globalists? Because they've been compromised. They've been bought. They're looking out for their own way. They understand how the two-party system is. They know if they speak up and pop their head up like little whack-a-mole, if they pop their head up, they're going to get whacked. So they lay low, and they let the Democrats and the media destroy Trump, who's trying to make America great again, while everybody else is trying to make the world under control of everybody, under the control of one world government. And so this little whack-a-mole, if anybody pops their head up to help Trump, whack! They slap someone by doing it. I have never seen a guy that doesn't have a team. You know what it is? Okay, I'm going to ride this horse here in just a minute. See, he's never, as far as I know, he's never been elected dog catcher in his life. He wasn't a political animal. In fact, he was probably a political compromiser, if we know that, right? He gave money to everybody because he didn't care. He was about making money. That's what he was about, building his empire. He didn't care. He gave to Schumer. He gave to Hitler. He gave to all. He didn't care. He gave to both sides. He didn't have any. His theology was him. Make Trump great again. Trump Tower. That's what it was about. And then all of a sudden, whether he thought he was going to win or not, he threw his hat into the ring. And now he's got to take some positions. Now he says, man, I can't be kind of wishy-washy. I got to take positions. So the first time in his life, he started thinking about positions. He started taking positions. Okay, I'm against this and I'm for this. I'm against this and for this. And he finds out he gets elected president of the United States. Now he's in president of the United States. He doesn't have any idea. He hasn't even been a mayor. Okay? He hasn't even been a mayor. He's always been king. Wherever he is, he's been king. That's the way he would organize his business. He was the decider, as George W. Bush said. So now all of a sudden, this guy's never been on the school board. He's never been a school board president. He has no experience on politics. Now he's in the White House and he's looking around and says, wow, who am I going to get to help me here? Somebody help me. And so Rince Priebus comes in. I'll help you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'll help you. Hey, let's get this guy and let's get this guy. I know this guy. He's really good at dog catching. And this guy, he's really good at killing bugs. And get this guy. He runs a great garbage truck. And all of a sudden, Trump wakes up. He's got a team around him. And he says, who the hell are these guys? Who are these guys? That's what's happening. Can't you see that? Can't you see that? That we talk about draining the swamp. Can't you see that they brought the swamp right in around him? And he's gradually waking up. He's a businessman, and he's never been in an environment. Can you imagine this, Roger? Can you imagine in Trump Tower, those people, and he's in one of his meetings in Trump Tower, he's going to build another casino, he's going to open whatever, he's going to go into a business deal, and he finds out people he's hired are undermining him. Can you imagine what he would do to them? You're fired, because he is. That's the way he's run his life. And he didn't realize that he was going to come in and he was going to manage a team. And he let somebody else choose his players. And they're all in it for themselves. They're all in it. And folks have been bought and sold, and pedophilia and homosexuality and adultery and fornication and every vice going on is all infiltrated in Washington, D.C. And this guy comes in and he says, I'm going to try to change all this. I'm going to drain the swamp. Yeah, right. And so they start making these crazy allegations about Russia. I was on the phone with a guy yesterday getting my cable connected. And I made a comment about Obama. He starts coming at me about Trump. Oh, yeah, Trump and the Russians. Folks, how stupid are you? How stupid are you? Hillary Clinton sold our uranium to the Russians. Obama leaned over with Vladimir Putin's assistant and said, hey, I'll have more flexibility after the election. It ain't about the Russians. It's about doing everything they can do to block Donald Trump from making America great again, because they want the New World Order to be great again, and those two don't go together. It's a salvation of Western civilization versus globalism. Come on! And I see Christians. See, this is why we lose. Oh, my goodness. It's like you got a girlfriend, all right? You got a girlfriend, and somebody writes you a letter, and you go, or it's an email. Do email now. I got me a new girlfriend, and I open up my email, and somebody says her old boyfriend writes me. Oh yeah, have you noticed the birthmark right around her navel? And I said what? And then somebody else, oh yeah, have you noticed? And they start telling you stuff about your girlfriend, and all of a sudden you don't know if you're in love with her so much anymore. That's what they're doing to Trump. People are saying, they're pointing out these things. Oh my goodness. The media is just making it up. And what's happening? Those of us who are on his team, we're not even on his team. We're just letting them murder him. They're murdering him right in front of us. Listen, it isn't about Trump. You say, Coach, how can you support Trump? I support Trump because I look at who's against him. If I got to pick somebody in this, some dog in this hunt, I'm looking at who's against him. Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm going to get off of it. Anybody want to say something there? I wasn't going to talk about it. I swear I wasn't going to talk about it. But it needed to be said. Oh, boy. Hey, still room in the huddle if you want to jump in here this morning. Still room for you to get in here. I was talking about the event this weekend, wasn't I? And all of a sudden I wandered clear over into that mess and don't even know how I got in. Got some good stuff to dump on you today. I'm gonna connect some dots for you. this kind of coming out of nowhere, but it's not. If you bear with me, we're losing our children. I'm gonna show you a couple things that are gonna prove that to you. Now I'm gonna play a short little video here. Jared, it's the one that says I sent it all by itself, Jared. It says Roger. Suicide bombers, I think. Go ahead, Roger. You're breaking up for some reason. Go ahead, Roger. Jared, it's the one that says you never watch another message. You have it? Folks, watch now. I'm gonna shift here a little bit. I'm going to go in and try again to explain to us how we got in this mess. Okay. We still don't get it. We still think public education is good. We still think it is.
Yeah.
Churches still don't see. Listen to me. I'm not talking about the ABCs. Public schools aren't even good at those. But see, what we don't understand is public schools are teaching everything that the church is against. Public schools are teaching Antichrist stuff to our children. So we look out on the spectrum, and what do we see now? We see our children who don't share the same values as their daddies and their grandpas. Okay? This continues to go on. It continues to go on. And in this Judeo-Christian, I don't even like to use that term, in this Christian, once Christian nation, we've permitted the rats to get control of the ship and throw Christ out in a Christian nation. 70% of us supposedly still Christian. We allow the rats to come in, take control of the ship, and all Christianity's been, it's like they're coming in, they're throwing the Bibles out the windows, out into the ocean, they throw everything sacred out the window, and now they're running the ship, and we're paying for it. We're paying for the cruise ship, and they're running, and they're doing all the programming. They get to do it all. It's exactly what's going on in the public schools. The rats have seized control of the schools, and they're cleaning house. They threw out the Ten Commandments. They throw Jesus out. They throw prayer out. They invite Muhammad in. They invite paganism in. Harry Potter. They bring all that stuff in, and they're continually throwing Jesus out the door. Hey, why? Seed of the serpent. Seed of the woman. Doesn't change. You're on one team or you're on the other. And so we get the Republicans now against Democrats, Sean Hannity would tell us. There's only one problem. They're the same team. We just have the appearance that they're different teams, but they're playing on the same team. Now, who's the real team? The real team's Rusty Thomas. And those guys at Operation Save America went out and tried to rescue babies. That's God's team. And see that thing where you go on Sundays, that thing you call church, you're just spectators. It's like going and watching the Cleveland Cavaliers. You go and you do spectator Christianity, but you're not actively involved of it in any way. In fact, when you leave and you walk out of church on Sunday, you're blaming the referees. The referees are doing it. Never dawned on you that maybe you need to shoot some layups. You need to practice some foul shots. If you practice some foul shots and practice blocking out and getting some rebounds, we'd start winning some games. See, no, it's the referees. Oh, they changed the rules on us. No. So everything goes back to education. Okay? And we still don't, churches still won't speak again. I'm going to put a pause there because I sense somebody wants to say something. Then we'll show you a video here. If no, that's okay. Okay, Jared, let's get ready to let it roll here. Now, this is a video. Did I give you the right one there, Jared? If you messed up, it's not your fault. It's mine. This is public education in, I'm not sure which country this is. Okay, I'm not sure. Could be Iran, could be Iraq. I want you to watch what they're teaching their kids. Public schools in Iraq. Okay. Now I'm going to have to read as this goes on because it's a video of these two kids being asked questions. And so I'm going to have to read the responses under because it's not in English. Okay. I want you to see this. Hey, Roger. Think about what we're teaching our kids, okay? We're teaching them to be tolerant, diverse, and don't judge, and be nice, and everything, right? Right? Run to mommy. They come out snowflakes. Let's see how our adversary, let's see what he's teaching his kids. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Syria, that's where it is. Two little kids in school. They're singing a song. Oh, mother, don't be sad. I've chosen the land of jihad. Now, this is what they're singing. Go ahead, Jared. Wipe your tears. I only want to fight the Jews. Listen, folks, I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to let you, then we're going to play it again, okay? These kids are on a school bus. They're going to school, and this one little guy is singing, and he's talking about the land of jihad. I only want to fight the Jews. Keep going, Jared. I'm going to fight the Jews. Now they're all repeating it. I'm going to fight the Jews. Another kid now, little kid. Our destiny. Jihad. Our Constitution. The Quran. They're chanting this on the bus. We don't feel... Okay, now here's the teacher. Pause that, Jared. Here's what the teacher's saying to him. We don't feel uncomfortable about saying we belong to Al-Qaeda. Teachers saying all these little kids, we're not ashamed of this. We were Al-Qaeda. Go ahead, Jared. To the contrary, we're proud of it. Keep going, Jared. And our sheikhs, like Sheikh Osama bin Laden, May he rest in peace. They are all our role models at this school. They're teaching these little jihadists to be like Osama bin Laden. Keep going. We call this generation the cubs of a lion. And as you know, a lion represents power. Hey, isn't it something that over in Syria, they're not teaching them to get in touch with their feelings, figuring out what gender they are? The cubs of a lion. Go ahead. I'll play it all again when we're done. God willing, these youths will establish a caliphate following the Prophet's tradition. Public school in Syria. Why did you come here? The reporter asked the little boy, why did you come here? To become a Mujahideen fighter. Go ahead. Is your family happy that you come here every day? They ask these kids on the bus. They forced me to go. These two little 7-8-year-olds. And you, little boy, who sent you here? He looks to be about the age of my granddaughter. My parents sent me here. He's smiling. What benefit do you get from attending this academy? The interviewer asks these two innocent-looking boys. It helps me prepare myself for Judgment Day, the young boy replies. But also, it's important to go to school to secure your future. You must plan for your future, the other little boy says. My father reminds me of Osama bin Laden, who terrorized and fought the Americans. Getting in touch with their feelings. And one day my father will be like him, like Osama bin Laden. And I want to be like Osama's son. Have you already made your decisions to join the jihad? Yes, God willing. What about you, little boy? Another little boy. He's smiling. I want to be an Ingamasi, a suicide bomber. I want to be an Ingamasi, which is a suicide fighter. This kid might be 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. He's not trying to figure out what gender he is. Go ahead. Can you repeat that? The reporter says, are you kidding me? Can you repeat that? Yes, I want to be an Ingamasi. I want to be a suicide bomber when I grow up. I want to be an Ingamasi suicide fighter for Allah's sake. I don't have to play that again. It'll be available online. Hey, Roger. What? Can you compare that with what they're teaching in Pickerington? What are they teaching the 6 years old in Pickerington, you think?
I don't even know where to begin. I have a place to begin.
All right.
When you look at the Islamic world from region to region, please tell me what, if anything, their educational system produces other than violence. What do they produce? What do they contribute, be it manufacturing, be it science, be it medicine, the arts? They produce nothing but violence and destruction.
So if you wanted to destroy America, if you were part of the New World Order and you wanted to destroy America, Wouldn't it be a great idea to import a bunch of these people into the United States? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Flood our schools with them? Flood our welfare rolls with them? Wouldn't that be good? That'd be a good idea. And so Trump stands up and says, no, 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 we don't want to have that. Hang on. What happens? Trump wants to make America great again. There's somebody out there that doesn't want to make America great again, right? And the more Trump tries to make America great again, boom, whack-a-mole. They whack him, whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole. Why? Because, folks, they have to destroy Christianity. They have to destroy it. Somebody wants to say something? I got something else. I'm going to connect the dot here for you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Okay, you know what? I think heathens and Christians would agree with this statement alike, that nature abhors a vacuum. That's just a fact. And you know, the fact is, just like abortion, this stuff, this illegal immigration, this stuff is destroying our nation. It's going on with the absolute permission of the church, the Christian church at large, and the neutered pastors.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You mean those same pastors that criticized Rusty Thomas for laying down his life for the preborn? You talking about those guys, George? I'm going to tell
Absolutely.
You something. These little guys, these little suicide bombers, future suicide bombers, have we been warned by that? Are we? No? No? And that's being welcomed into our schools, and Islam's welcome in schools, but Jesus isn't welcome in schools, right? Can I show you some fruit here? Anybody want to say something before I show you a little bit of cause and effect? All right, Jared, let's go to all that stuff I sent you. This kid, this is hot off of the presses. First one, Jared, drop in faith. You sitting down, Sarah? Larry, you sitting down? Roger, are you sitting down? Percentage of Americans who believe Bible is literal word of God plunges. Gallup reveals the consequences. Hi, Matt. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. There we go. All right. Keep going down, Jared. This is great news today. May 17th. That'd be like 2 days ago. That'd be like yesterday. Here you go. Only 24% of Americans now believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. Hey, not 24% of people you go to church with, 24% of Americans. That's the lowest proportion ever in Gallup's more than four decades of asking questions about scriptural worldview. Meanwhile, while just 1 in 4 say the actual word of God, say it's the actual word and is to be taken literally, word for word, an additional 20% view the Bible as a book of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. 24 and 26 is 50. That's 50% of the kids. Hey, Raj, how many of those kids went to public schools, I wonder? All of them. There's also a third option, the story says, that falls somewhere in the middle. The proportion of those who say that the Bible is inspired by God, but shouldn't be taken literally. The largest proportion of Americans, listen to this, 47% of Americans will embrace the fact that the Bible is the word of God, but should not be taken literally because why? History and moral precepts change over time. They're relative. Where did they learn that? Oh, in Sunday school, right? That 1 hour Sunday school that you had trying to combat that good public school you got down the street where they're got a good football team, good band, good choir, and they do the greatest Easter programs, although they don't call them Easter. They call them spring programs. They have a great Christmas one, but they don't call it Christmas anymore. It's holiday. Yeah, that one, that school, that's what I'm talking about. Yep, yep. There's, let's see, the latest wave of Gallup polls stunning for one key reason. You ready, Raj? For the first time in 40 years, biblical skepticism surpasses biblical literalism. For the first time in American history, more people think the Bible is a fable rather than something that's to be taken seriously. And much of this change has been relatively rapid. From the mid-1970s until 1984, 14 years, 40% of Americans said the Bible was the literal word of God, which is now down to 24%. It went from 40% to 24% in the last 30 years. In the 1970s, just 13% of Americans looked at the book as Bible as a book of human pen fables. Just 13%. Now it's 26%. The cultural change in biblical perspective is sure to have ramification on collective morality and behavior. Oh, you think? While majorities still see the Bible as holy, listen, Larry, Matt, while majorities still see the Bible as holy, more people are downplaying God's role in the text, leading to a belief that Scripture is open to interpretation. If man, Gallup says this, if man, not God, wrote the Bible, then more can be questioned. And that, in turn, may have consequences for what Americans come down on, a number of morally hinged issues. The country may already be seeing this in growing public acceptance of a variety of behaviors that were once largely frowned on, I guess, from a Christian perspective, ranging from gay marriage, premarital sex, to out-of-wedlock births, physician-assisted suicide. These results are based on a poll that was conducted from May 3rd through 7th over the phone. As FaithWire previously reported, the Barna Group recently found in a separate poll that 17% of Christians, not the world, 17, less than 1 in 5 Christians who attend church regularly and say faith is a big part and have a biblical worldview. There you go, boys. There she be. There she blows. What's one thing they all have in common? Sure, public schools. Welcome, man. Public schools. Come on, man. Somebody refute me. Refute me. Say, that's not true. They have a good band, good football, and their basketball team, and they just hired a new superintendent. We just passed a levy. We just passed a levy so our kids can get good jobs. We just passed a levy for that. In fact, we're going to bring in that Common Core because we want everybody to think the same way and imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. And we'll get them to Sunday school on Sunday, and we'll teach them about two by two they entered the ark. It'd be funny if it wasn't funny. Wasn't sad, it'd be funny. Are you stunned or done that? What, are you bored? It's supposed to be a give and take here. All right, Jared, get the next one ready. Get the next one, Jared. Riot. Well, here's where they're heading us.
I'll give you a little bit.
Go ahead. I've got a question for that 47% that believes that the Bible was inspired by God, but isn't to be taken structurally or literally or seriously or
whatever. That's half of us, Larry.
Inspired it. Which I just want to know which God they think inspired it—the one that makes mistakes or the one that doesn't make mistakes.
They don't think that deeply. They don't think that deeply. Really? That ain't very good. Oh, Jared, well, then we're just probably not going to be able to watch that. Oh, wait, I'll find it because I want people to see it, okay? Now, I'm giving you a fair warning right now, folks, that this is this it? No, I may not be able to find it. It's got foul language. Jared, I know he's daggone. I know I had it somewhere. Trying to show you what we're up against here. No, that was that one. Is that one it? Must see video. Crazy. It's kind of boring when I'm doing that to you. Kind of boring. Okay, let's go to this one, Jared. Because remember I told you guys last week, I got to find this. As this one plays, I'm going to find this over. Remember I told you last week that I was going to start exposing the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and all this. I'm still going to, but I'm still trying to. We have new listeners joining us every day. And so sometimes I got to go back and do a review. And I'm sorry for those of you that this is this is a review of second grade, but it's what I have to do right here. What they've done, see, is they've infiltrated us through communism. Communism is anti-God, not just anti-Christ. It's an anti-God system. There is no God. Imagine there's no heaven. That's become, it's morphed into humanism and secularism and globalism. It's morphed into all these other things, but it is ultimately an anti-belief in God's system. Government is God. And if we could just follow the rules of man, everything's going to be okay. And so that's one of the things that's happened to us. And I want Jared to play this, Jared. It's the one that Jared's doing great, folks. The problem's all on my end. I didn't send him the right link. Jared, play the one that's 4 minutes long, Schools and Communism. Schools and Communism, okay? Because this stuff all connects. That may be what you have up there. Yeah. The following quotes are from the leading educators and the influencers in their time. Their minds played a crucial role in the formation and development of the school system you know today. Play the video, but just keep the sound down, Jared, and I'll read what they say, okay? Mute the video. The education system's indoctrination, communist indoctrination. Elwood Cubberley, hold that there, Jared, Dean of Schools of Education at Stanford, said this: schools to be a factory in which raw products, children, are to be shaped and formed into finished products, manufactured like nails. And the specifications for manufacturing will come from government and from industry. Hang on a minute before you move forward. Book of Psalms called them arrows. See, we're supposed to be taking little arrows in our quiver, and we're supposed to be on the offensive, attacking the enemy with our quivers, our children, trained Christian children. But now we got them in public schools where they are being what? Being formed into finished products manufactured like nails. And the specifications for that manufacturing will come from government and industry. That's 1905. Keep going forward, Jared. I'm sorry I wouldn't have played this. I thought it verbalized it.
And the specifications for manufacturing will come from government and
industry. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Good, Jared. I can quit doing that now. Here we go.
The chief end of education is to impose on the young the ideal of subordination to the common aims of organized humanity. Give us the young, and we will create a new mind and a new earth in a single generation.
Amen.
Every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen.
Yep, just program those little suckers.
In our dreams, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or men of science. The task we set before ourselves is very simple. We will organize children and teach them to do in perfect ways the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way.
Freeze that, Jared. That was from the Rockefeller Foundation, 1906. Okay? Rockefeller General Education Board. The task we set before ourselves is very simple. We will organize children and teach them to do in a perfect way the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way. Go ahead.
We must continue to produce an uneducated social class that
Stop
will
that,
sweep
Jared.
The streets.
We must continue to produce an uneducated social class that will sweep the streets, unclog sewers, scrub toilets, pick up trash, bus tables, or mop floors, no matter what the wages. That was Gerald Bracey, 1991, professional promoter of public schools. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Unclog sewers, scrub toilets, pick up trash, bus tables, or mop floors, no matter what the wages. A new public mind is to be created. How? Only by creating
Stop,
tens
Jared.
Of millions.
I'm sorry, John Dewey, the father of American education, is speaking this, okay? This is John Dewey, 1933. A new public mind is to be created. How? Only by creating tens of millions of individual minds and welding them into a new social mind. Through the through the schools of the world, we shall disseminate a new concept of government. Father of American education, John Dewey. Go ahead. I don't know what happened there, Jeremy. Can't hear it. Stop a minute. There, stop there. Education must be used to condition the people to accept social change. Listen, folks. This is Harold Rugg, prominent educator, 1933. Education must be used to condition the people to accept social change. Can you say gay marriage? Can you say transgenderism? The chief function of schools is to plan the future of society. Go ahead, Jared.
Plan the future of society. Education does not mean teaching people to know. It means teaching them to behave as they do not behave.
Wow.
Today's corporate sponsors want to see their money used in ways to line up with business objectives. This is a young generation of corporate sponsors, and they have discovered the advantages of building long-term relationships with educational institutions.
You say Facebook, YouTube,
we want to accomplish MySpace. By education what dictators in Europe are seeking to do by compulsion and force.
Jared, that's the National
the National Education Association.
There you go. Probably need to read that again.
Success without school. Think outside.
Okay, Jared, that's it. That's it. Did you get that, folks? So they've told us again, as the devil always does, he tells us exactly what he's going to do, and then we don't, listen to it. We think we're immune to it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Hey, guys, that works both ways. You know, that's a warning. I was talking to Big Rich yesterday. Maybe he said it on the program. I thought it was pretty poignant. Big Rich was hiring his former high school football coach to work with him. Rich is building a house. And he called his former football coach, who's like a shop teacher, and said, hey, do you have any kids that I can hire this summer, want to make some money? And the coach said, are you kidding me? Kids don't want to work anymore. Moms and dads provide everything that they need. Anything they want, the moms and dads go out and get it for them. There isn't any work ethic anymore. How's that happen to us, folks? I know. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets to play the same amount of time. Huh? Communism. All coming in on us. I feel like I'm flopping and floundering around. Am I making a point today? Help me, George. Help me, Ann. Jump in here, Ann. We let women speak here.
I always agree with you, Coach.
That's not a good thing, though, Ann.
No. But you say the truth. You speak the truth.
Okay, Ann, could you walk into your local church? If you walked into your local church and you got up in the pulpit and said, folks, it's time to leave the public schools, what would be the reaction to your church, Ann?
They'd probably ask me to leave like they usually do when I pick up.
They'd stone you. They'd stone you, wouldn't they? Get her out of there. Get her out of there.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, George. Yeah.
Coach, I play tennis with – I play college tennis. I play with a guy that he teaches here in Tulsa, played at LSU. And I was having lunch with him yesterday, and he got a text, and he got kind of agitated. He goes, oh, my goodness. And I said, what happened? He said, one of the moms just called in and said – they wanted to cancel the tennis lesson because it was too windy. And I thought the height of stupidity, that just feeds into what you're saying about the future for our youth if parents don't wake up.
Yep. And Sarah put over here on the side, George, is it any wonder the prisons are booming? And see here, listen, here we are, we Christians can't even figure this mess out. We can't even figure out that the prisons are full of people because of what the schools are teaching. Can't we see this? Was it John Adams who I think it was John, maybe it was John Quincy Adams, said that the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's fully inadequate for the governance of any other. Teddy Roosevelt said to educate a child and not to educate him in morality is to educate a menace to society. Where is the church on these issues? Where is it? We're leaning to Trump and wanting Trump to do something. Where is the push among pastors to get Christianity back in the schools? Where is the push? It's our tax dollars. Can you think of any other thing? Yeah, you probably can when it comes to government. But can you think of any other product that you pay for that you don't get what you want? Do you go to Lowe's and buy a refrigerator and they develop and they deliver a washing machine to you? Do you go to McDonald's and order a Big Mac and they give you chicken McNuggets? Do you go to the gas station and try to fuel up and they give you kerosene? Can you think of anything other than public education where you pay for something and they don't give you what you pay for? And we continue to do it. And not only that, it's poison. We're giving them poison. We tell our kids in schools, don't smoke. You might get cancer. Don't smoke. You might get cancer. Be drug free. But then we say, sodomy good. Oh, that's good and healthy for you. What is wrong with us? Do you see the disconnect? See? Right wing watch going to have fun with this one today. You see the disconnect? See, problem is the church. Problem in the world. The problem is the world has assaulted the church. The church is changing to accommodate society. Society isn't changing because the church is bringing salt and light to it. No, we're retreating. We're hiding. We're letting evil run free. Jared's throwing something up here. Gentleman John Adams said, "Where our country remains untainted with the principles and manners which are now producing desolation in so many parts of the world, and while she continues sincere and incapable of insidious and impious policy, we shall have the strongest reason to rejoice in the local destination assigned by Providence. But should the people of America once again become capable of that deep simulation towards one another and towards foreign nations, which assume the language of justice and moderation while practices sin and extravagance and displays I have received from Major General Hall and Brigadier General Walker, your unanimous address from Lexington, animated with a martial spirit and expressed with a military dignity becoming your character, the memorable plains on which it was adopted, in the most captivating manner, the charming pictures of candor, frankness, and sincerity, while it is rioting in rapine and insolence. This country will be the most miserable habitation in the world because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by religion and morality. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other." Somebody help me bring it home.
We're seeing that right now.
We're seeing it right now. And we know, Roger, we know the remedy. Churches know the remedy.
Yes.
And we won't. Is your pastor going to go down to the school board and demand that we get prayer back in the schools? Well, we can't do that because it might offend those poor Muslim kids. We don't want them to have to pray.
Hey, Coach. I've got to contradict you on that. Churches, as we see them in our society today, do not know the remedy. That's what got us to where we're at. They've lost sight of the remedy. And they've
I hate it when you do that to me, Larry.
They have got to the point where the remedy becomes anti-churchy in their eyes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We are a counterculture, brothers. We are right there in the midst of it. We are the counterculture. Counterculture.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, Coach. You said earlier, yes, and my internet cut out. So I'll just say, you know, you're talking about how Trump really has very few friends and allies, and I couldn't agree more.
He has no team.
And yet on top of that, People that are like on this show, we need to stop. There's too many good people that are saying, yeah, but if Trump would just say things, he needs to stop spouting off so much. And I'm thinking, they're missing the whole point. That's what makes him different. And we have people on our own team saying he needs to be more neutered and tone things down.
That's right. George. You know what they're saying? He's not acting very presidential.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's a pattern that we've had.
You hit the nail on the head. And another thing wrong with what's going on today is even those who, quote, support Trump and back him, 100%, they back him 100% of his effort. They don't put any of their own effort into moving the ball forward.
Larry, quit saying that truth. That's my job. Nobody gets to say that kind of stuff but me. That's it. That's it, isn't it? Huh? We hired him. Let him go do it, but he's got to tone it down. He's got to be more presidential. I want to grab people. Just give him the biggest old smooch that I want to do. Hey, guys, I got to tell you, what time is it? This show got away from me a little bit today. This isn't what I was going to talk about. It wasn't. But while I'm on it, I got a 2-minute clip I got to play. Jared, play that one clip on education. It's 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. We're tying this all together. Hold that right there.
While he's playing that, you know what? I'm going to do an unabashed commercial here, but it's a free commercial because I'm not charging anything. There's a whole lot of people in this country that are not buying a Drain the Swamp bumper sticker because they're afraid I'm going to make a penny off of it. So I got news for you. You get your name and address to me and give me somehow to get me 52 cents so I don't have to pay for a bunch of stamps, and I will give you a bumper sticker. Forget it. It's not about me. It's about we need to show support. And even in that little old bitty insignificant way, we need to show support for what we want done. And if you don't want to follow and come up on this bandwagon, then find another bandwagon to start pulling and pushing. Don't just sit by and refuse to jump on one.
So, Larry, it's not that they don't want to give you any money. It's that they don't want to be recognized as somebody who supports Trump. That's what's really going on. 2-minute video here. Play it on education.
Let's talk the truth about school. In most Western countries, school is compulsory and state-enforced. Truancy can result in fines or even jail time for parents. This isn't just a result of state coercion. On a cultural level, education holds a sacred status much like that of religion. This is an institution that most never question, and that's a problem. Did you ever wonder how it is that kids spend 13 years from kindergarten to high school supposedly being prepared for life, yet when they get out, they don't have any real skills? 13 years and kids aren't taught how to grow a garden, how to build a house, how to fix a car, how to balance a checkbook, or how to cook a healthy meal. 13 years and kids come out without even rudimentary concepts of how to organize or lead groups of people, without even a glimmer of understanding of how to resolve conflicts nonviolently. And we call this an education? Yes, we're taught how to read and write and to perform some basic math, but we aren't taught how to think for ourselves. We aren't taught the principles of logic or how to question an ideology. What we are taught is how to sit in a desk and listen obediently as the world is packaged into a neat little box that we are to accept without question. We're taught to regurgitate that information for tests, to give the answer that those in authority demand. But most of all, we're conditioned to conform. And the reward for faithfully jumping through all of these hoops for 13 years is a worthless piece of paper that no employer even asked to see. Kids exit high school barely qualified to flip burgers at McDonald's. And even for that, they have to be trained. 13 years is a long time. That's most of our childhood. To have this much time taken by force with such pathetic results is unacceptable. The problem here isn't a lack of funding. The problem here isn't poorly trained teachers, lax regulations, or low-quality curriculum. The problem is our entire educational paradigm. The system isn't designed to prepare children for the real world. It's designed to format their minds and condition them for a life of subservience. It's designed to create a population of individuals just smart enough to fill out paperwork and punch a time card, but too stupid to question the system itself or the authority of those running it. If we want to change course, we cannot ignore this aspect of our enslavement. There's no point laboring to wake up other adults in our lives if we send our children to be programmed by the state. The revolution of the mind must include a revolution in education. If this is a message you feel the public needs to
hear... Okay, Jared, I gotta wind it up here. We're about out of time. Listen, so I want you to think about this, that video you just saw, and you tell me... You tell me the difference to the way a classroom is run and the way your church is run. Students come in, they sit down in a chair, and the teacher lectures. Everybody behaves. You keep your mouth shut. You don't ask questions. You just sit there. You're allowed to ask questions maybe every once in a while, but otherwise, don't mess up the lesson plan. You walk into church. What happens in church? You walk in. You sit down. The teacher teaches. You're not allowed to ask any questions. They give you a homework assignment. We'll see you next week. See, the problem, boys and girls, is the church. The problem is the church. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.